Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat shalom.
And there is no Torah portion this week, so I got to talk about whatever I wanted. That was kind of cool. So since it's a season, I decided to talk about Passover, or Pesach. It was this last week, as we know, with our Seder and everything. So I just want to talk a little bit more about it, so we have a little bit better understanding of what's going on with it. Okay? So I'm using from the Tanakh, I'm using Exodus 12, chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. And the Haftorah portion, I'm doing 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 21. And in the Apostolic Scriptures, I'm using Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. So for the introduction, it says, Passover is a one-day celebration. Yet truly there is nothing we do on this day except prepare for the Seder of unleavened bread. It is not a celebration we are commanded to go up to Jerusalem for, and it is not a Sabbath. However, Yeshua is the first and foremost on this day. What else do we know about it? Well, Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you or to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. As a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast. Now, always when I talk about the feast days, I am strongly stressing that this is not a Jewish holiday, it's not a Christian holiday, it's not a Catholic holiday, or any other holiday. And so I need to stress that right at first. And where we find that is Leviticus chapter 23. Okay, in verse 2 it says, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, The appointed times of God, which you are to proclaim as set apart gatherings, My appointed times are these. And so this is God telling us these are His appointed times. These are for Him. It's not any particular groups. These are His. So if you follow the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if you're grafted in through Yeshua into that covenant, okay, these are your feast days. Even if you're not grafted in, these are God's feast days. Okay? So these are the feast days of God, and that's what makes them so important, okay? So we need to understand where we're coming from with this, okay? And so I showed you the scripture from there, okay? Now, as we know that Passover, Pesach, is not an eight-day celebration. We've kind of talked about that, okay? It's a one-day celebration. It's at the very first part. It's the first day of a nine-day period, okay? I say 9 days. You'll hear why here in a second. That the Jewish people celebrate. And they just called it Passover. Okay? They just grouped it all together as one. Now, Passover is a one-day celebration. The festival of matzah, or unleavened bread, is a seven-day celebration, so that's eight. Okay? Why did I say nine? Because as Rabbi said before, they had an extra day on at the end for those of us who are outside of Israel. They say, oh yeah, go ahead and have an extra day to celebrate. So that makes the nine-day celebration, okay? But that's not biblical, okay? That's something that tradition brought in. That's something that was man-made. And so that's what they do. That's what they celebrate. So today I'm talking about just the Passover day, just Pesach, okay? Which is one day. Starts at sundown, and it ends at sundown. One day, okay? So as we start this, okay, what takes place on Passover? Well, we go through a lot of different things. We say, Yeshua was crucified and buried on Passover. Absolutely. That's the first place we should go. What are the Jewish traditions for it, though? Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's getting the Passover lamb ready, mostly. Okay. It's preparing for that day. Okay, we see it in Scripture. You know, the disciples ask Yeshua, you know, he tells the disciples, you know, this is what you need to do. This is where you need to go to prepare for the Passover. He tells them what to do. And so it's a day to prepare for the Passover. But there's a tradition in Jewish belief, okay, It's called the Fast of the Firstborn. Okay? Because the firstborn were killed on the first Passover that didn't have the blood on the houses. The Jewish people say, well, okay, if you're the firstborn of a house, you need to fast that day. Okay? Mostly it's to say, hey, you know, thank you, God, for not killing me, right? As a firstborn, right? But it's to honor that day. It's the sacrifices that were made. Because back in Egypt, who knows how many firstborn were killed that day or that night, okay, when God passed through. And so it's a way to honor the day. It's a day to say, okay, this is when that happened. It's a day of remembrance. They also say fasting is a way to, in a way, it's a sacrifice on that day that the individual does to make up for being a firstborn. Okay, there's many different reasons that the Jews do this type of thing on that day. And so, you know, if you want to follow those traditions, just understand that's man's tradition, because nowhere in Scripture does it say to do that. Okay, it's a tradition of man. Okay, so people have come up to me and said, well, what if I'm not a firstborn? What if I'm a second or a third or a fourthborn in my family? Can I still do it? Well, I tell them, if you're led to do it, go ahead and do it. One of the things I like to say, you know, for a Christian belief system, when they come into Torah and they finally learn that Torah is still for them and they're the first one in their family, I say, yeah, in a sense, you're a firstborn because you're the firstborn in the Torah. Okay? When it's the opposite way, when it's a Jewish person coming out of I don't want to say coming out, but of mindset of it's just Torah, when they find Messiah, then I say, hey, are you the first one in your family to find Messiah? Yeah, well, in a sense, you're firstborn. Okay? Because you're the first one to find the Messiah. And so there's different ways you can look at it. There's different aspects of how to do it. Okay? But just understand, it is a tradition of man. Okay? And so we need to understand. But that's typically all that's done on that day. Okay? Is there a big old ceremony, okay, for that day? No. Okay? There are different prayers that are in the prayer books for this day, for the Jewish people. But otherwise, nothing's really done. Do we know much about it? I'm going to say no, we don't. Okay? Do we understand that the rabbis, or actually the Levites in the temple at the time of Yeshua, were singing Psalm 118 at the time he was crucified around 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Do we understand these types of things? Okay? And when we see that, you're going to see the prophetic nature of that song, that they just, that's what they do on that day at that time. And so it's a wonderful picture, and you see how he fulfills so many more things than we're understanding, and how that was all done. Now, if we go back to Exodus 12, and we look at these verses I put, and you're going to notice two separate words. The first word that you're going to see here is going to be pass through, which is avar. Okay, and that's a pretty good translation of this word. It's kind of like pass through. You go from one side of Donyana to the other, you kind of pass through, right? You go from El Paso to TRC, or you go from Alamogordo to Demi, you're going to pass through, okay, Donyana, or the city of Las Cruces. And so that's kind of that's a very accurate word of pass through, okay? And so it says, for I will pass through, or avar, the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now here's a different word. That's where they get Pesach, or Passover. So it's talking about Passover. Okay, the Lord will pass over that house with blood, because it has blood on it. Well, I feel that that's not a completely accurate translation. Okay? And the reason why I say that is passing over. Okay? We're going to get to some ideas here. Why do I say that? Well, I don't think it's a satisfactory one, because there's two root words for the word Pesach, or Pesach, actually. And the first word means to limp. Okay? Now, if you have a hurt leg or a hurt foot, and you see, you know, or somebody's limping, right? You see this limp. It doesn't look like it's very strong. Okay, but that's what it means. It means limp. One of the root words means to limp. Imagine God limping. Do we really think God would limp over the house that had the blood on it? Okay? So I don't think that translation really makes a lot of sense to me. That root word does not make a lot of sense. Okay? Because I don't think God would limp. The second root word, okay, really means to cover over or to hover over. Now I think this gives us a little bit more understanding about what takes place that night. Okay? Because from the very beginning of Scripture, God uses the idea to hover. And where do I get that? Genesis 1, verse 2. Okay, says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." And so from the very start, we get the idea of hovering, as God hovers. Okay? Now, another neat thing about hovering is how, what do we say? You know, we think of God's protection, may he be upon you. We think of this thing that sits on us or over us, protects us, right? We see this, you know, when they were in the desert, you had the column of smoke leading them by day and the pillar of fire at night, right? Well, it was over them. Okay, they could see it from anywhere in the camp as they were traveling. And so it was a sense it was over them, okay? And so we have another idea of the covering or the hovering over, okay? But we see that a Hebrew word that parallels Pesach or Pesach is going to be called uf. Okay, kind of a little funny word there, but it means to cover as well, okay? And so we see, how does it parallel, you ask? Well, if we go to Isaiah 31:5, which is what I spoke earlier, okay? It says, as birds hovering. Now right there, that hovering is oof, the word oof. Okay? So as birds hover, so Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh Zavaot will cover. Now here's a different word. The word here is ganav, and it means to cover, like a blanket or something that you put over. Okay? It says, he will cover, ganav, Jerusalem. And again, it says covering, again, which is the word ganav, he will deliver it. Well, he's talking about Jerusalem, deliver it. So he's going to cover Jerusalem. Okay? And then here's the key word. Hovering, he will save it. Well, that word hovering there is Pesach. Okay? So again, he's hovering over it. He will save it. So again, you see this hovering over is his salvation. Okay? Well, that's what took place the night of when the death angel came down into Egypt and killed all the firstborn. Okay? So God would see the blood on the doorpost and he wouldn't touch the firstborn in that house. Every other house that did not have it, the firstborn died. Every other house. Okay? So we have this picture now. Think of this picture. God sitting there just hovering over you, protecting you, saying, no, nothing can come here. You know, think of it as an umbrella. You go out with an umbrella, as long as it's not windy, like it can get here and blow sideways, right? The umbrella will pretty much stop the rain from getting on you. So it's like a cover, okay? Well, think of that night as a death angel comes down, okay, and strikes every firstborn. But there's a cover over that house so that the death angel doesn't take a life in that house. So you see more of a cover over of each different place. It's not so much God kind of limp into the next house. Oh, I got to limp over this house. Oh, I got to limp over that house, right? I mean, the way I look at it is God limping, isn't that kind of lame? Oh, I just had to throw that out. Right? Boom. Okay. But yeah, it just doesn't fit. Okay? So when I think of Passover, I think more of a cover over. Okay, now we find the verb form of the word Pesach in Kings. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, it says, "And Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you go hovering?" And right there, that hovering is Pesach. Pesach. It's with the A vowel type. Okay, between two different opinions. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And all the people did not answer him a word. Okay, so now you have this place. Now, in some of your translations, you're going to see the word limping. Okay, and the reason you're going to see that is traditionally, biblical scholars have believed fully that Pesach is a word that relates to a different Hebrew word, and that Hebrew word is Pesach. It's a little different, starts with a P-I, so it's a different vowel markings than the Pesach, okay? And so that word actually means lame, okay, like I'm talking about earlier, like God being lame. It's the actual word that means lame, okay? And they thought for all times that it's related to that, okay? But as we saw in Isaiah 31:5, it probably isn't, because of the word parallels and the associations that come with it. Okay? So these biblical translations have assumed and believe that that verse means limping. And so that's why you get the translation in most verses as limping. Okay? But it actually means hovering. I mean, if you think about it, when you have a decision to make in your life, and you can go one way or the other, what do? If you have to really sit on it, you kind of just kind of sit on it, right? You're kind of hovering over it in a sense, trying to decide which one you're going to decide. You're not limping from one to another, right? You're just kind of weighing both sides. You're kind of seeing what's gonna happen. And so you're kind of hovering, trying to make your decision. It's not a limping, okay? Now, I don't have the documentation here with me today, but even in Egyptian literature, ancient Egyptian literature and Aramaic statements, it's talking about hovering. It's not talking about limping. And so we need to understand that the understanding might not be correct when we say to pass over. It's more of a cover over. If we go to Romans 4, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin." Now here's another part of that picture of that cover over, right? We just said our sins are covered. Okay, in Hebrews you go in there and it talks about a covering from the sacrifices that were done. There was a temporary covering. Okay, so we're talking about covering. Boy, we like our sins to be covered, right? Yeah, man, you know, yeah, they're not there anymore, right, Reuben? God can't see them. That's what it is, right? They're covered. Well, but no, that's not true. He sees everything. But the fact is, there's another picture of covering. We like our sins being covered. You know, in Christian denominations, we're covered by the blood. Right? I mean, that's a teaching that's out there. Okay? So we love the idea of being covered. Okay? When we're going through a trial, we're going through sickness, or we're going through something that's really hard on us, right? Boy, we want the covering of the Lord, right? When we go to the prison, we want the covering of God, which is protection. Okay, we go into situations, boy, we like that covering. And we're always wanting it. Okay, we want it in our lives. We want God to cover our finances. We want God to cover our children. We want God to cover our lives, right? It's the same type of understanding that we should get with Passover. It's a cover. Okay, so do we not feel stronger when Yeshua is covering us? Do we not feel closer to God when Yeshua is covering us, or when God is covering us? Right? These are the things we long for and our desire. And so it's a covering. Okay? So Psalms 91 verse 4 says, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge." So again, here's another picture of cover. Boy, it's a good place to be. But you know, when we sin, we can come out of that covering. We lose that. We not only lose that relationship with him and us by our sins. We actually move out from that covering. It's like, oh, now we can be just, you know, whacked with our, what we deserve for our sin, right? But we can get away from that covering when we sin. Okay, and so we have to remember. Let's stay under God. Now, before we knew Yeshua, some of us, okay. Boy, we weren't under his covering. Okay? And boy, sometimes bad things happen to us. I don't know about you guys, but man, it sure did me. Okay? And so, and I also learned, since I came to faith in Messiah, it was like, okay, now I'm under his covering. Now I have that protection. Now I have that relationship. Okay? He's with me. But then I know, okay, when I deliberately violate Torah, then it's like, oh, okay, I did it. I stepped out under, from that umbrella, and now it's going to rain down on me. Right? None of you guys have experienced that, I'm sure. But I have. Okay? And so it's good to understand the covering. We also need to understand, I mean, we see his covering in Psalm 91. So his covering was there before Yeshua came. It didn't start at the time of Yeshua. It was already there. Okay? It didn't, and it's continued through today. It didn't stop at the time of his death either. Okay? He's still covering us. He's still there. Okay? So this is something that took place from the beginning all the way through now and will until the end. Okay? He will cover you. He will shelter you. He will protect you. But are you willing to stay there? Okay? Because that's another thing. Sometimes you think, man, I'm good. I can handle this on my own. I can make this decision, right? I can do this and not reap the rain, so to speak. And we'll step out. And then the next thing, man, we go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. So it didn't stop with him or start with him. It's always been there. Okay. If we go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, it says, that at that time you were without Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Yeshua HaMashiach, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Mashiach. Now this is pretty neat. Okay, again, I was just talking to you about that. When you didn't know Messiah, you were what? Outside. You were without. But once you know him, you're brought into the commonwealth of Israel. You are now part of Israel through your faith in Messiah. Okay? You were strangers beforehand of the covenant of the promise. But now through Messiah, you're no longer strangers to that covenant. What's the covenant? Torah. Okay? And so you have these really neat things that take place. And so when you were without Messiah, you had no hope, right? But in Messiah, you have hope. And it's just a beautiful thing. And so we ought to remember that. And it's not anything that we did, but it's through our faith in Messiah that does this for us. It's our faith in Yeshua. Now, Leviticus 23:15-16 begins something a little bit different, and so we're gonna touch on this as well. Because Passover, Pesach, is not a commonly used time. Okay, it's not something that we do. We have shared before that with Passover, that's not one of the commanded festivals to go up to Jerusalem for. Okay? But we know unleavened bread is. I think it's kind of strange that Yeshua, our Messiah, was crucified on that day, but we're not told to go up to Jerusalem on that day. It makes you go, but unleavened bread is. Okay? That should spark your thought of what the difference is. Why the difference? Okay, if they're separate days, why not one but one on the other? Maybe it's because we concentrate too much on the Passover. Instead of what he's done for us since, has he been raised? Does he live within you? Or are we still focused on his death all the time? Is he alive? Is he living in you? What are we focusing on? So maybe that's why we don't go up for the Passover. And maybe it's the unleavened bread. We have to think of what does unleavened bread mean? What does it represent in our lives? What does it represent in Scripture? How did he fulfill it? These are all questions we need to ask ourselves. But this next one, and we start this tonight at sundown, actually. And Rabbi mentioned it. It's the Omer. Okay? It's the counting of the 50 days. Okay? And that, too, is a biblical mandate. You're supposed to do that. And how do we know that? It says in Leviticus 23:15-16, it says, and you shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you were brought the sheaf of the wave offering. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord. So we're commanded here in Scripture to count 50 days. 50 days. We're commanded to count. So this is a separate time frame. This is something else that we're supposed to do. But there's nothing really to, well, how do you do that? Okay, today's day one. All right, I satisfied that. Tomorrow's day two. All right, now we're at day three. Yeah, we're going good. Okay, there's nothing really to commemorate that. Just as there's nothing really to commemorate the Pesach. Okay, but yet these are commanded by God to remember forever throughout your generations. It's to never go away. So what do? Well, in my house, we follow a tradition from Jewish belief, and we take Psalm 119. Now, Psalm 119 is all about King David's love of Torah. That's all it's about, is the Torah. Okay? And there's so many verses that it's actually a poem, and it breaks it up into 8 verses. And if you read 8 verses every day, and just study them, and meditate on them, and look at them, read it in the Hebrew, study the Hebrew words, do these different things about those 8 verses, you'll start seeing a whole lot of different things, not only in your life, but you'll see promises. You'll see strength that you can gather, little nuggets of knowledge, wisdom, things that you can take with you. Because we're going to get in the summer, right? And we all know here in Las Cruces, it gets pretty hot and dry, right? Well, it's the same thing spiritually. All right, for the next 3 months, we're going to go into a very dry time spiritually. Okay, you have the 3 weeks, okay, that end at the 9th of Av. Okay, start at the 17th of Tammuz and end of the 9th of Av. And during that period, more people have been killed in history than any other time of the year. Okay, you have destruction of temples, you have kings killed, you have so many things that transpire during that time frame. It's a spiritually dry time as well. So we need to start saving up promises, right? And what's neat about the Omer, depending on if you have an Aleph at the beginning or an Ayin at the beginning, is whether it's a number or counting or if it's the word promise. And so Omer can actually mean promise. So when you're counting these 50 days or counting the Omer, you're counting promises. God promises you many things in chapter 119 of Psalms. Pick those promises out. Hold on to those promises and take them into the dry time. And that gives you strength. It gives you courage. It helps you make it through that time frame. And so this is what my family does. We sit down and we read those 8 verses. We talk about it. Which verse did you like? You know, what does it make you think of? Things like that. And we do that with our family. I would tell you guys to do the same thing. Because David had a heart after God's own heart. And the longest chapter that he wrote was Psalm 119. And it's all about the Torah. So David loved the Torah. So God loves the Torah. Yeshua is the Torah. We should learn these things and study it, right? Study that love for it. And it changes your life. And it brings focus into you. Okay, so that's what my family does, and this is what, you know, and God's teaching and instruction, or His Torah, tells us to follow these things. Now, they're not showboating, they're not great little fun things to do, they're not the Seder meals, right? They're not the first day of Tabernacles, it's not Yom Kippur, all right? It's not the big days. They're smaller, it seems like. But they got to be important if God tells us to do it. Okay, so these kind of match in importance because we don't see anything to do, but they're still commanded. But our focus has been taken away from them because of man. Man's taken the Pesach and said, hey, we're going to make it 8 days. And we're just going to call the whole thing one word. But that's not true. That's not truth. It's a completely separate day. Okay, and so we have to understand the truth. Okay, now, as I told you, we're getting ready to go into a dry season, but it starts tonight, saving up those promises for the next 50 days, both physically and spiritually here in Las Cruces. Right, save up those promises, count the Omer, make sure you're following God's word, even in the small details, and you'll see some great changes in your life, because both the Pesach and the Omer should not be overlooked. Okay. And so on that note, I will end with what Torah Man Jr. says. Torment Jr. says, when you do something with a lot of honesty, appetite, and commitment, the input reflects in the output. Yeah. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your festival seasons. We thank you for your Son, Yeshua. We thank you for the life you've given us through him. We ask that we honor these days that you tell us in your word that don't have specific things to do, but just bring to our hearts how you want us to celebrate them, how you want us to spend time with you, and how you want us to grow closer. Help us to love the Torah through your Son Yeshua, because through the both of them, you are complete, and we are complete. That's through Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.